English is clarified. What do you think of the use of the name Floss as in free, libre, open source software?
There are many people who, for instance, want to study our community or write about our community and want to avoid taking sides between the free software movement and the open source movement. Often they have heard primarily of the open source movement and they think that we all support it. So I point out to them that in fact our community was created by the free software movement. But then they often say that they're not addressing that particular disagreement, and they'd like to mention both movements without taking a side. So I recommend the term free/libre and often open source software as a way they can mention both movements and give equal weight to both. And they abbreviated FLOSS once they have said what it stands for. So I think if you don't want to take a side between the two movements, then yes, by all means, use that term. Of course, what I hope you'll do is take the side of the free software movement.
Me, all of it.
But not everybody has to, so that term is a legitimate.
Are you happy with the development of a community which has grown out of your vision of a free operating system? And in what ways did it develop differently from the vision you had at the beginning?
Well, by and large, I'm pretty happy with it. But of course, there's some things that I am not happy with, mainly the weakness that so many of the people in the community do not think of it as an issue of freedom, have not learned to value their freedom or even to recognize it. That makes our future survival questionable. It makes us weak. And so when we face various threats, this weakness hampers our response. Our community could be destroyed by software idea patents. It could be destroyed by treacherous computing. It can be destroyed simply by hardware manufacturers' refusal to tell us enough about how to use the hardware so that we can't write free software to run the hardware. There are many vulnerabilities that we have over the long term. And while the things we have to do to survive these threats are different, in all cases, the more aware we are and the more motivated we are, the easier it will be for us to do whatever it takes. So the most fundamental long-term thing we have to do is recognize and then value the freedom that free software gives them, so that they will fight for these freedoms the same way people fight for freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and so on. Of course, those freedoms are also greatly threatened in the world today.
So what, in your opinion, threatens the growth of a free software at the moment?
I have to point out that our goal is not precisely growth. Our goal is to liberate cyberspace. Now, that does mean liberating all the users of computers. We hope that eventually they'll all switch to free software, but we shouldn't take mere success as our goal. That's missing the ultimate point. But if I take this to mean what is holding back the spread of free software, well, partly at this point it's inertia, social inertia. Lots of people have learned to use Windows, and they haven't yet learned to use GNU/Linux. It's no longer very hard to learn to use GNU/Linux. 5 years ago it was hard, now it's not. But still, it's more than zero. And people who have, if you never learned any computer system, then learning GNU/Linux is as easy as anything. But if you've already learned Windows, it's easier. It's easier to keep doing what you know. So that's inertia. And there are more people trained in running Windows systems than in running GNU/Linux systems. So anytime you're trying to convince people to change over, you're working against inertia. In addition, we have the problem that hardware manufacturers don't cooperate with us the way they cooperate with Mac, with Microsoft. So we have that inertia as well. And then we have the danger in some countries of software idea patents. I would like everybody reading this to talk to all of, or anyone listening to this, to talk to all of their candidates for the European Parliament and ask, where do you stand on software idea patents? Will you vote to reinstate the Parliament's amendments that were adopted last September and that apparently are being removed by the Council of Ministers? Will you vote to bring back those amendments in the second reading? This is a very concrete question with a yes or no answer. You will often get other kinds of, you may get evasive answers if you ask, do you support or oppose software idea patents? The people who wrote the directive claim that it does not authorize software idea patents. They say that this is because the directive says that anything to be patented must have a technical character. But somebody in the European Commission involved with this admitted that that term means exactly what they want it to mean, Humpty Dumpty style. So, in fact, it's no limitation on anything. So if a candidate says, I support the Commission's draft because it won't allow software idea patents, you can point this out and press the question, will you vote for the Parliament's previous amendments?
Okay, thanks very much.